Welcome, friends. You have found your favorite podcast one more time. I appreciate you coming back. It is Politics Doesn't Have to Suck, but it does. I'm your host, Richard Selesky. And today, we're going to discuss something that we are all guilty of. And it's something that, in the end, if you can correct, will make a huge difference in your life. Especially if you're in a situation where you're looking to support one side of a conversation. It could be anything. It could be this team is better than that team. It could be your political party is better than this political party. It could be this ideology is better than this ideology. If you can change your thought pattern, change your speech pattern, this will make a big difference. Today's podcast is called Stop Saying Things That Make You Weak. We're all guilty of this. That's the worst thing that's ever happened. You dropped your milkshake. That's the worst thing that's ever happened. We're all guilty of it. Some people call that hyperbole. A review of an article from Thought Co. titled The 8 Greatest Hyperboles of All Time does a decent review of this. It's dated January 21st, 2020. And a basic summary of what we're discussing is, have you ever heard something to be referred to as the best, the worst, the funniest, the saddest, or the greatest, and known that that statement in question is almost definitely false? Do you feel the same doubt when a person claims that they could eat a horse? Of course you do. Exaggerations like these, common in informal speech, are simply not true. This popular form of exaggeration and enhancement is referred to as hyperbole. We're all guilty of it. Everybody is this. Nobody is this. The worst thing we're all guilty of when utilizing hyperbole is when we're mad at somebody or a group of people and we say, you always, or you never. That's not true. Nobody always, and nobody never. This argument makes you weak. It makes you look foolish when you condemn somebody in such an absolutist way. Now, the article goes on to say, are hyperboles lies? There's a quote. 'Tis not contrary to reason to prefer the destruction of the whole world to the scratching of my finger. And that's written by Hume in 1740. Hume, like many others that use hyperbolic speech, did not fully mean what he was saying in the quote above. He was merely trying to express how strongly he dislikes getting scratched. Does this mean that hyperboles and lies are one and the same? As far as most people are concerned, no! The Roman rhetorician, Quintilianus, and I think I said that right, eloquently describes this tricky concept by explaining that rather than a deceitful lie, hyperbole is an elegant surpassing of the truth. He goes on, hyperbole lies, but not so as to intend to deceive by lying. It is in common use as much among the unlearned as the learned, because there is in all men a natural propensity to magnify or extenuate what comes before them. And no one is contented with the exact truth. But such departure from the truth is pardoned because we do not affirm what is false. In a word, the hyperbole is a beauty when the thing itself of which we have to speak is in nature extraordinary, for we are then allowed to say as much, a little more than the truth, because the exact truth cannot be said, and language is more efficient when it goes beyond reality than when it stops short of it. Quintilianus, 1829. Philosopher Lucius Annaeus Seneca also defends this way of speaking, saying that hyperbole asserts the incredible in order to arrive at the credible. As you can see, most experts regard hyperbole as a valid means of expressing oneself that is entirely separate from lying and supplementary to the truth. The problem is, I'm stepping away from the article now, hyperbole has become fact in today's CRT argument, critical race theory. We have come to condemn ideologies, entire groups of people, using hyperbole, and it's getting out of hand. We'll be right back. Now, back to the article. The following collection of 8 passages displays some of the most memorable hyperboles that media, including stories, poems, essays, and speeches, have to offer. This will help you understand the context in which hyperbolic speech can be used and the purposes it can serve. One of the things is, if you review people who discuss critical race theory, they condemn it in its entirety. And the people who support critical race theory condemn those who have issues with critical race theory in their entirety. These issues make you weak. When you say, if you disagree with something that I like, you are blank, it makes you look weak. Agree with me, or you are a bad person. Disagree with me, and you are a bad person. That's not true, and it makes everyone look weak. Now, if you do some basic emotional work, you can change that. The first thing is, Sharon Melnick, a PhD, wrote in 2009, your assistant makes mistakes and has an attitude. You can't get your colleagues to take you seriously and follow your ideas. Your boss uses a tone and changes his mind all the time and doesn't go to bat for you. You and your spouse get stuck in a communication dead end. You have drama in your dating. Your family member continues to be needy and frustrating. The best way to keep your relationship supportive of your goals and not distracting or draining is don't react. If somebody disagrees with something you are a massive supporter of, don't react. Reacting is your effort to try to get the person to stop being the way that they are. It lets the other person get you off track from who you want to be and the results you want to create. Reacting makes you lose time and waste your focus being upset about what they did. Of course, you know you are not supposed to react, but it's not always easy. It hijacks you. You personalize it. To respond, you have to explain why the person acted the way they did. You will ask yourself, what does the other person's behavior mean about me? You might put words in their mouth and think that they're saying, you are not good enough. You're not smart enough. You've got to be stupid, or your job or client is not secure. You'll worry about how the situation will affect you. Focus on the problem. Our nervous system evolved to respond protectively when large predators are running at us. That's why when someone is annoying, we tend to focus all our attention on getting them to stop acting that way, because it makes you feel out of control. Stop talking that way. You're so dumb. And it forces a negative forecast. To save energy and respond quickly, your brain will use shortcuts and default to well-worn grooves in your thinking. You will believe the person is going to act the way they've always acted in the past. And that's not true. Stop reacting. In the end, stop saying things that make you look weak. Emotional intelligence is vital, and we can help. Check us out at tc-university.org. I'm Richard Selesky. Reach out. Let's talk.